This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top stories of the day, Michael. How about this one? We all know last year, Hall of Famer Steve McMichael, who was a big-time member of that amazing defense in 1985 that helped the Bears win the Super Bowl. He donated his body to science, I suppose, so it could be studied. We knew that. He was diagnosed with chronic traumatic, CTE, Mike. So it was official. He died last year at 67 after a five-year battle with ALS, commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. But it is official. He had CTE. Misty McMichael, his wife, said too many players are developing ALS during life and diagnosed with CTE after death. I donated Steve's brain to inspire new research into the link between them. Now, Mike, this is a story. And man, who didn't love Steve McMichael? Now, I got to see my biggest memories of him when he was active. He was Mongo. He's one of the four horsemen in the WCW. Steve McMichael, freaking legend, Mike, in so many different areas. But his wife donated his brain to science so they could see what was going on. And sure enough, CTE. So this story and so many others like this, this is why. When people say, oh, football's getting too soft now. It's getting too soft. These stories come out. And the families then go after the NFL. Right, wrong, or indifferent. This has been happening, and the NFL has been getting sued for years because of this stuff. So this is why. You know, when you see your South Park episodes that do the sarcastaball, and guys are like, oh, football's just not what it was anymore. The NFL, like the NCAA in this way, they got tired of fighting it, so they just keep trying to adjust the rules to try to make it safer so that guys aren't getting concussions time and time again or playing with concussions and then ultimately found with CTE after they've passed. It's a scary thing, but this is why I say this. When we want to complain about how the league, yes, it was a different time. It was fun. You know, I remember the segments on the four-letter network Jacked Up and all that stuff. I mean, we loved it. We grew up with that. But the problem is the guys we were glorifying in those moments, once their careers were done, they or their family started going after the NFL because they were dealing with the long-term ramifications of playing in the National Football League.
I mean, I grew up watching Steve Atwater. He was one of my favorite all-time Denver Broncos. He probably has CTE, and he's probably caused CTE.
Yeah, Troy Polamalu, man. I mean, that guy was torpedo. Sometimes his hands weren't even out in front. It was just his helmet. He was just jumping over that line to drill you with his helmet.
Yeah, but he had extra cushioning, though, that head and shoulders hair.
Nobody else did. Talking about the guys he hit. You're talking about Steve Atwater.
Oh, he was a vicious hitter.
That's why I'm making the comparison.
And his timing,
too. We all loved Troy Polamalu, right?
In the
way he played. Well, of course you didn't. You're obsessed with the Broncos. And anything else, anyone that's not a Bronco, it's just like you hate him. It's just so annoying. And childish. Had to throw that in there. But he was an incredible player. He was a face of the NFL, which is not one that they want to really glorify as much anymore. So Very interesting story there. According to a 2021 study by the Harvard Medical School and the Boston University CTE Center, NFL players are more than four times more likely to develop ALS than other men. Dr. Ann McKee, director of the Boston University CTE Center, said about 6% of individuals with CTE in the brain bank also have ALS. Do you think this is, I mean, obviously, Mike, you have a player, a kid, that's a really good athlete. You can play football, you can play basketball, play baseball, whatever. Do you think that in this day and age, in 2026, we're going to start seeing more parents that are like, you know what, let's buy more baseball stuff. Let's buy you better shoes for basketball. Let's get you into some one-on-one training in basketball, as opposed to, instead of pushing hard on playing football?
My sister-in-law has said, my nephew's not playing tackle football. She has said, I'm not having my son have CTE. I'm not, you know, going to push back on her. He's playing flag football right now. I think that's why the NFL is investing in flag football.
Oh,
because the NFL is going,
conspiracy.
This tackle football thing is an issue. Hmm. We're going to try to get more players from around the world to come in and, you know,
hopefully. Do you think in 20 years we're going to be playing flag football instead of what we see today?
I think what we're going to see is a combination of a lot more foreign players and some flag football, Americans playing flag football.
What I'm asking is the NFL. Do you think in 20 plus years, 50 years, it's flag football?
No.
No?
I think we're going to see more, we're probably going to see more male Americans playing flag football. But we're going to see some foreign people, more foreign people in the NFL. So instead of like you have to have that rule where one player is from another country, it'll be you already have foreign players.
I'm confused where you're going with this. You think the emergence of flag football will lead to European players playing in the NFL?
I think that the NFL is going to have probably two separate leagues. And one's going to not officially be the NFL, but I think with more parents deciding not to put their kids in tackle football, we're still going to have tackle football. There are plenty of people on this planet who want to play football.
And don't care.
It's all over the world.
They a lot of these guys know. They know now. Guys that are playing college football right now and good enough to go to the NFL know that they could get ALS. They know they could get CTE.
It's about their parents, though. A lot of their parents are like, no, I'm not allowing you.
It's just amazing.
I'm the one in control of your life.
It's amazing the numbers that are coming out. 6% of individuals with CTE in the brain bank also have ALS. More and more of this coming out. Didn't they make a movie about this with Will Smith? And he was playing that doctor, the one that was fighting the NFL. Oh, when was that? That was years ago.
That was like 2015.
Was it 2015?
Yeah, it's been a while.
And you know that those findings, which the NFL, I think, tried to ignore for a long time, it was too big to ignore.
Concussion, 2015.
Concussion, 2015, okay.
And he did not win an award for that.
But see, you're going a different direction I thought you were going when you said this is why we're seeing the emergence of flag football. And you're saying, well, it's more about getting European players over. I'm wondering if this is not, let's dip our toes in the water for a bit and let's see how flag football does. Let's see if it starts to draw some eyeballs, if the ratings start to pick up. And let's see if it does something crazy. And then we start shifting more dollars into that, more marketing dollars. We expand that. We make it huge. And the NFL is a product, but maybe not the main product. And it's ridiculous to even say, but what you said, even though that's not where you were meaning to go, that's where it kind of took my brain.
Yeah, see, I think football is always going to be a popular sport. I think it's always going to be the popular sport until baseball or basketball can overthrow it, and that's going to take time. But
I don't think anything's overthrowing football other than football.
Yeah.
And if that's a different variation of football, that's what I wonder what's going on. Because the more stories that come out like this makes the NFL's battle more complicated.
And that's why I think you see them suddenly going, well, okay, we don't have to get rid of the Pro Bowl. We can just make the Pro Bowl flag football. And also we can invest in, my nephew plays flag football. That is sponsored by the NFL. That is a partnership with the NFL.
Colahoma says, I remember getting hit harder playing flag football than playing high school football. No padding, and you could still block, just not tackle. Well, but let me ask you this. When you're blocking, are you hitting each other's heads? Because that's where a lot of concussions develop. They're not the ones we see on Jacked Up back in the day, but that's where a lot of concussions develop, is at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, a lot of offensive linemen, defensive linemen have that CTE.
And they
don't think about it, the wide receiver, the defensive back, but
and they don't get tested a lot. Maybe now it's different, but an offensive lineman can get a concussion without us even knowing as the viewer.
I remember the first time I ever saw a specialty helmet was a San Francisco 49er. He was an offensive lineman, and he had like a little crown, an extra crown on his helmet. I mean, that should say something about
the position.
They're
pretty much going to develop these helmets now. They're going to be gigantic because you are seeing more and more players start to wear them.
You are, especially the wide receivers.
Yeah.
It's interesting how they have like five different designs, and a lot of them, like certain players will wear certain helmets. And I think that's, they've probably developed it for different positions. Like an offensive lineman, their helmet has to be different than a wide receiver's helmet. It just has to. Wide receiver is going to get tackled a different way than an offensive lineman is going to block.
But, like, things have changed so much even since I was in high school, man. Like, the care that these guys have with helmets now, what they're doing with helmets. Dude, I'll be real honest. We didn't get new helmets all the time. We were playing with the same helmets. And that is, I don't know what that's like in high school football now. I would imagine they get new helmets every year.
I know of someone who is no longer a coach of a team, and part of the reason is the helmets were not the correct helmets, and he knew of that.
When I was still doing more prep stuff, when we started the sports show, and we were still talking a lot more preps, now we got the legend to do it, Bruce Dick. Who's better to do it than him? So, obviously, we hand over the keys to Bruce Dick on that kind of thing.
Legendary
And some of the other guys that have done it over the years for us. But I interviewed a head coach, a current head coach, Mike. This was 10, 12 years ago. Not that long ago. And it was a good school. They win a lot. And this coach told me on the air, I asked him about some of this stuff going on, you know, safety protocols, and the game has changed. This is an older coach. Good guy. Liked him.
I remember this interview.
But he interrupted me halfway through the question. And he said, he laughed. And he said, you can't get hurt playing this game. You remember that? I know exactly who it was.
Yeah, I remember that. I do. I may not have the best memory in the world. I do remember this interview.
You can't get hurt playing this game. And I'm not saying like, but I'm saying that attitude existed at all levels of football, not 12 years ago, Mike. This attitude was there. And when I bring it up, you know, it's, oh, stop being soft. You know, let them destroy each other. Listen, they sign up for it. There's new things in their contracts now that try to keep them from getting sued. But the NFL probably sees something. Because, Mike, I got to tell you, I can't see me ever getting excited to sit down and watch a flag football game. Part of what we love about football is tackling and hitting. Part of what we love about it. I can't see me getting excited about it. But the NFL, somehow, some way, they're believing that this is a brand, maybe out of necessity or maybe out of just kind of, for lack of a better word, greed. We want to grow another monster league and make it huge. Or there's something deeper. When you see these kind of stories and it's another great player that was known for how rough and tough he was on the field is coming away with some pretty bad health stuff, and they find out even after his passing.
Yeah, I honestly think that this is the NFL. They're not dumb. I mean, they've known about this since the 70s, 80s. They've known about this, and they were wrong to not tell players about this. They were wrong to not act on it. But they know about it. I think they're like 3-4 steps ahead of us all.
They knew about it a lot, long, long ago.
Yeah.
It's just there wasn't real actions. Kind of, and again, it reminds me of somewhat what's happened with the NCAA, where they, it's not a big problem. We're not going to worry about it until it is in their face. And then suddenly these findings are coming up, and players and players' families are suing the league because, in the 70s and 80s, they didn't know. They didn't know. Like, we didn't talk about offensive linemen getting concussions. When that first came up, it was like, really?
Varsity Blues?
Those guys are getting smacked every single play that they're on the field. You know, a running back gets hit, and I don't know, a certain percentage of the time actually gets hit in the head, which they're really trying to protect. But offensive and defensive linemen go up and smack each other in the head. And then we've got the tush push now. Which is why some coaches love it. Some coaches are fighting against it. Can you imagine how many concussions happen inside that thing?
They've said that they've done studies, and they've said that's actually a lot safer than a lot of
that's
other
what
places.
They
I
say.
Don't know if that's true.
I don't know. I can't imagine dudes just all they're doing is ramming forward to clear space, and those helmets are making contact with other helmets to make space. I can't imagine it's that safe, but. Again, I know they're not like going at each other full speed, but these are big dudes lining up to smack each other. And they're taught how to get a quick start off that line of scrimmage. And that's the quicker start you have, the better chance you have of making it as a lineman in the NFL.
I think a lot of ways to avoid the concussion is to maybe teach people better ways to block. Block like this, so your helmet doesn't hit his helmet. Rush like this, so your helmet doesn't
hit
this
helmet. But they are teaching that, Mike. They are teaching that stuff. You're still going to get hit in the head. You're going so hard at each other, and you have one job, and that is to protect your quarterback.
But hopefully
or get to
less.
The quarterback. And you're not thinking of, I can only use my hands here. I got to, proper technique. But when you're on the 1 yard line, or the 1 inch line to get in for a score, it's all you're thinking of is pushing forward as hard as you possibly can. Here's another interesting one. Kyan Evans, you remember that name? Pretty good player for Colorado State. He transferred last year and went to North Carolina, and he made around $2 million. He's one and done at North Carolina. He will not be playing under Michael Malone. Kevin Lytle reports in the Coloradoan, a year after leaving Colorado State, the guard is back in the transfer portal. He started off pretty good. He was playing a lot, and then as the season progressed, his playing time diminished, and I think Kevin noted he played 28 total minutes over 4 games in March. He played just 4 minutes in North Carolina's NCAA tournament loss to VCU. Evans didn't score in double figures in the final 19 games of the season. He averaged 17.6 minutes per game, 4 points and 2 point assists per game.
Grass was greener, but apparently there were a lot of weeds on that side.
He got $2 million, though.
$2 million? You didn't play that much.
You got $2 million as a college player from CSU. Started at CSU, played 2 seasons with CSU.
Glad he was counting his money on the bench.
He's actually a really good dude, but somebody throws $2 million at you, you're not going to take it?
I don't know. If I'm a huge basketball fan, I want to, like, if I'm a basketball player and playing in college is my dream. I don't know. Maybe I'm different than everybody, but I'd want to play.
I wonder if he'd come back to CSU.
Maybe he'll go to UNC.
No.
He's got $2 million.
He won't go to UNC. I don't think he would come back to CSU. I think it would be a pride thing. I'd be fascinated to see if that really happens, though. That's a wild story. That's just another example of a guy that was pretty good at CSU. Pretty good. Not great, pretty good, gets $2 million, goes to a giant juggernaut of a basketball school, and then playing time just goes down. It's not what he thought. There are great examples, and there are these kind of examples where it just didn't work out. I'll be curious to see where he goes. He's a great dude. Like him. He got $2 million, around $2 million to go away, to leave CSU. 25 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break here. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back? Still. Doing that shit, Andre. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Check me out.
All right, so how are we feeling about the Rockies right now? They beat Houston last night 9-7. I was going off yesterday saying, okay, where are the runs going to come from? If they get caught in these games where Houston's going to score a lot, and they made a push, man. They made it interesting in that eighth. But where are the runs going to come from? You got guys to be somewhat excited about here, Michael. And I think we're going to get to that 30 wins a lot faster than people think. I mean, who's been sticking out right now? I think TJ Rumfield has been very good for this team. The Rockies got him in a trade with the Yankees. That's certainly worked out well for them. Willie Castro suddenly coming on strong. He had two hits last night. And then how about this guy, who I think really could be a fan favorite, and that's Troy Johnston. Troy hit a home run yesterday. He had three hits in that game. Oh, man. I mean, I like this dude. He had two RBI. That one hit he had, got right past the pitcher, but it looks like, okay, shortstop's going to get it, and we're going to get a double play here. Instead, it hits second base, pops over the base, gets out of control, and he just kind of looks over at the dugout and goes, hey. There's guys you can root for on this team. Now, it's early, 10 games in, but I think it has a much different feel than where we were this time last year, Michael. That's pretty exciting. Although, Rockies, you guys are not, no one's excited about this team. Rightfully so. It's been historically bad. Is it starting to catch up to the Rockies now? The lowest attended Colorado Rockies home game in franchise history, excluding the 2020-21 pandemic, was 16,301 against the Houston Astros last night.
I mean, the traffic must have been great.
That broke the previous record low of 18,119. That was on September 22nd. That's what's scary, is this is normally the time when people are still going to Rockies games like crazy. Now, Tanner will argue that these numbers are weird. You know, wait till you get to the summer. This is when you'll see it. But September 22nd was the second lowest. Obviously, season's done. Nobody cares anymore. But an early season like this, to come out with 16,301 against the Astros? It's Monday night. How much of the national championship has to do with that? The NCAA national championship game was on last night.
Everybody knew Michigan was going to win.
It was a close game.
I know, but there was a feeling that whoever won the Michigan-Arizona game was going to win the national championship.
Well, either way, I don't think it probably impacted baseball fans that much.
Well, it's weird. And yeah, it's a Monday game, but it's weird because, like, this is the time of year where Rockies fans are all, oh, it's amazing. The Rockies
are
going to be great.
Enough of, like, when you have a historical bad season, and then the season before that was 100 losses, the season before that was 100 losses, you might not see the impact right away. But it seems like this season, we're starting to see that. To see the impact of that.
You want to hear how Rockies fans are in normally in April and May?
Okay.
Got to say hello, it's a lucky day.
Not last year. That's how they are. Not last year.
I know, but normally this is how it is. It's like, goodbye, Columbus. Everything's wonderful.
What? Who are you talking about?
That's the name of the song.
I know, but nobody was feeling that way last year. Did you watch? They didn't win four games until April 20th last year.
But this is normally how Rockies fans feel, and it's sad to see them depressed.
And see, I disagree. I think most Rockies fans knew that April was going to be fool's gold, and they would have a few wins that would get people somewhat excited. But I think after the last 5 years, that hasn't been the case. I don't think there's been that many. I think people still go to the ballpark because it's still fun to go. It's still the best bar to go to.
But Rockies fans usually, April, May, get excited, and then their hopes are dashed in June and July, and sometimes they have a good June, too.
Usually by mid-June, it's kind of starting to get out of control.
God.
Starting to get out of control.
That's when they start taking the Pepto.
Man, I like what Troy Johnson had to say after the game. He's like, we put the pressure on the Astros today. They had a spot starter and some trouble in the bullpen, and we took advantage of that. Man, I'm just getting excited for some of the talent on this team. And there's still other guys like Doyle and Hunter Goodman and Tovar that I think are going to round out more and more as we go here. Goodman's had a little bit of a slow start. But the last year it was like you got one or two guys. Maybe one or two guys that you were genuinely anticipating some kind of action when they came up to the plate. I feel like the guys are starting to get more confident too. Tanner thinks they're going to win tonight. If they win tonight, Mike, you go 5-6, you're almost a 500 team through over 10 games. That's when I think we start going. They haven't been, when's the last time they were above 500? Like 24? Was it? It's been a while. So I think for what, and I get it. I don't blame Rockies fans. Like, I was definitely the guy that's like, dude, if you're not going to try to think outside the box a little bit and go with outside hires to try to get this thing right, then sell the team. And Tanner got so mad at me on that because it's like, it's his team. He's not going to sell. Okay, you owe the fans, man. Owners owe the fans. And if you're not going to try something different, to try to win some games and get some excitement back at Coors Field, because you can't compete the same way everybody else does. Yes, Michael.
According to Instagram, which you can't believe, and CBS News, the Rockies were over 500 on April Fool's Day, 2023.
They were 500?
Yeah, they were over 500.
That was the last time they were over 500?
Yes, and their record was 1-0.
That's pretty good. 2023?
Yep.
Wow. Well, see, that's why. Enough of that, even though the ballpark is so great, you're still probably a Rockies fan deep down, and you just get tired of going through it all to watch a team that's just going to piss you off. Is it different this year? Do you really feel that they are on the improve? I don't think anyone's talking about 500 records or playoffs or anything. I don't know that word is going to be in our discussions for quite some time. But improve. Is this? I mean, it's already a better start than they were last year. But it just kind of seems like it's a gritty baseball team. Just kind of find weird ways to win baseball games.
I think the Rockies could win 156 games
in 3 years.
Technically, technically, I think they could win 156 games. Are they going to? No, but I'm losing my bet to you. They're probably going to win more than 60.
I'm sorry. You think they could technically they could win 156 games this year?
Yes.
Just you're looking at it mathematically, how many games are remaining and how many okay.
Yes, mathematically they could. I don't think it's going to happen. I think
What do you mean I don't think it's going to happen? Of course it's not going to happen.
I think you're probably going to steal money from me. I think I'm going to be taking you to Big City Roadhouse and
because you got them at 50?
Yeah, I said 50, and you said 64.
64. I went in between Brian and Tanner. I think Brian says, or one of them said 65, one of them said 63. So I'm going 64.
I'm the pessimist.
I don't think our Dirty 30 campaign is going to have the oomph that it had last year. I wouldn't be shocked if they win tonight. Kyle Freeland going to the mound for the Rockies. And that's been pretty good. He's been all right. And Tanner was really out on him, too. And that's one of my TJ Rumfield and Kyle Freeland. I was going with one new guy and one veteran with this team that I'm going to really be pulling for. And, hey, let's get another one tonight. Let's get to five. Let's get down. Let's get to number 25 needed in this Dirty 30 quest, Michael. Let's do it.
I've found a new guy.
Okay.
Edouard Julien.
You can't pick a new guy. You already picked a guy. You can't change.
I can do whatever I want. I'm making up the rules now.
Text John Fort Olympus, Brady and Mr. 206. With flag football in the 28 Olympics, you can also watch baseball, softball, lacrosse, first time since 1908, and cricket, first time since 1900.
I will watch flag football and lacrosse.
I don't think I'll be watching lacrosse.
No. You're not going to watch the oldest sport in North America?
No. No. I have my sports I watch, and I stay pretty close to that. I like to watch football. I like to watch basketball. I occasionally like to watch baseball. I like to watch the Rockies play baseball. I'll be watching the Rockies tonight. And I will watch the Avs because they could lock up that top seed tonight.
I will watch DU lacrosse. Go Pioneers.
And they're good, right?
They're
really
good. They are. They're the first team, I think, west of the Mississippi, possibly the only team west of the Mississippi to win a championship.
I just stay in my lane, I guess. I don't branch out. I don't branch out. I like watching those three sports, four maybe.
What about rugby?
The college ring. No, I'm good. Mm-mm.
I was watching
Notre Dame versus Navy. During like the Summer Olympics, when it was in the Summer Olympics. It was kind of fun. But, I didn't really. Doesn't really move the needle for me. But I am excited about this Rockies team. Let's go get one tonight. Let's get to five wins, Mike. Let's get down to the 25 mark. And I think we'd be ahead of schedule. 40 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
I saw something kind of interesting going off of the national championship game last night. CBS Sports came out with their mock draft for the NBA, and it has the Nuggets likely around the 23rd pick would take Ade Mara, the center for Michigan, 7'3", 255 pounds. Now, Jonas Valanciunas has been pretty good. He'll be a free agent following the 26-27 season. Getting a guy like that, I mean, he's got a few things to learn as he goes here. Shooting outside of pretty much that little, couple feet mark outside of the rim would be something that he'd have to get better. He has the ability to do that, I think. I haven't watched a ton of him, but it didn't strike me as a fascinating prospect for the Nuggets, but he's a passing center. So he makes pretty good defensive impact. Pretty good screener too. That would be interesting. So they have the Nuggets projected at 23. So I guess that tells you where they think they might end up finishing this year. But it's a big one. That'd be an interesting one, especially because what we've seen this year, Jonas Valanciunas was getting a lot of minutes early and then suddenly not so much. He might have earned more after his performance in that Spurs game. But I have been kind of shocked to see how Adelman has used Jonas or not used him. Last night he played 10 minutes and he had 14 points. So I do wonder if that Spurs game maybe got him back in the good graces with David Adelman. But it was just interesting. I was looking at randomly decided after the end of the season in college basketball to just take a look at the mock draft. And there you go. You got the Michigan 7'2" center that's a pretty good passer. Might make some sense as a true backup center for Joker in a season. You know, you get him, probably don't play him much in the first year, and then you let Jonas finish out his contract, and then when it's done, let him go back to playing in Greece or go to Greece like he was wanting to do before the Nuggets acquired him, and then you go with this guy. So I'll be curious to see what happens with Jonas Valanciunas in the offseason, because it was weird when he got here. You know, everyone was questioning whether or not he was going to actually play for Denver. And then when he got here, he's like, hey, you know, I'm happy to be here. I'm excited. And he seems to be fitting in. He seems like a pretty good teammate, at least on the surface. 12:48 the time. I want to shout out to Big City Roadhouse. Man, they tore it up. They had an amazing spread for Easter. They're just becoming the hot spot for pretty much everything. Next up, how about the NFL draft? Get out to Big City Roadhouse and watch the draft. Now, the Broncos don't have a first-round pick, so there's no nerves or anything like that. Just go out and enjoy the draft amongst other football fans and see, you know, what happens with some of these key guys.
Enjoy the draft with a draft beer?
There you go, Mike. There you go. That's thinking with your head. Big City Roadhouse. Big City flavor, Roadhouse comfort. Absolutely wonderful food. Just amazing stuff at Big City Roadhouse. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll take a short break here. I'll wrap up hour number one. We got the whole show pressure cooker coming up. Just food for thought on this one. And it's not like a tonight type of deal. It's one of those long-term things, but we'll look at it. Also, we're so spoiled as Nuggets and Avalanche fans. We're just so used to both these teams being in the playoffs, but there was one year, Michael, where both teams weren't in, and it was a very scary time for all of us. I wonder if you can guess the year. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Two dudes, one mission. To provide the best morning radio in Colorado. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
I want to thank Renaissance Insurance, formed by two UNC Bears alumni over 20 years ago. Renaissance Insurance, they've just always had our backs, guys. They specialize in risk management and are also the go-to for farming operations here. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. All right, Mike, coming up next, we got the whole show pressure cooker. A couple of games tonight to pay attention to. We got the Avalanche, and we know what happens if they win tonight. They could probably shut her down the rest of the season if they wanted to. And the Rockies back at it. Could they take the series tonight with Kyle Freeland at the mound? So a few things to look into. We'll talk about it all coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.